We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Time now for Laird and Fitzy. Ken Laird and Nick Fitzy Stevens right here on EEI.
One question. Do I feel lucky?
Trolling. Keep those hot takes flowing. Never really knowing which way the wind is blowing. He's trolling, bowling.
Go ahead, make my day.
There it is, Ben Bolin of the Boston Globe. Before we bring Ben on, Fitzy, major Red Sox news.
Ooh.
The deal with Garrett Richards is done.
Oh.
1 year and $10 million.
Oh my gosh, as if the big baseball show with Bradfoe Show and Steve Peralt wasn't going to be locked and loaded enough from 4 to 6 today. My God, they'll have to extend an hour. Does that mean we should hop off at 3? I'm in. I'm here for it.
But you know, I enjoy my baseball. If Erod is back, you now have Garrett Richards slotting in with Martin Perez and Nathan Eovaldi.
Oh, do we get Martin Perez and his 5 ERA back this year?
Yes, we do.
Yay.
And Nick Pivetta. Don't forget Nick Pivetta.
And who was it?
Maybe Sale at some point.
Who's the guy in the last 21 innings or the last 17 innings struck out? It was like he either in his last 17 innings struck out 21 or 21 innings struck out 17 at the end of the season. Tanner Houck or what?
Oh, Tanner Houck. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Put him in the mix.
My issue is when there's been talent on the board available to you, like LeMahieu wanted his agent to reach out to the Red Sox to try to maybe up the Yankee offer.
He was using him as leverage.
George Springer just went 6 years, 25 per up to Toronto. Of course, maybe he'll be playing in Tampa too for all we know. Where are they playing this year?
Buffalo.
Buffalo, that's right. So there's been talent out there, and the Red Sox have made moves for Kiki Hernandez and Garrett Richards.
Hey, and Hunter Renfro. Don't leave him out.
That's right.
It's time
for the slot receiver from the Las Vegas Raiders. So psyched.
On the Harbor One hotline, it's Ben Bolin. Hi, Ben. I know you're fired up about your Sox as well.
I mean, I know you guys want to talk about Tom Brady, but I would totally understand if you need to switch gears here and just go all Red Sox all the time.
Well, we would, but the baseball show with Bradfoe is coming up at 4, so we'll. I don't want to steal their thunder. But yes, you're right. We're talking a lot of Brady, and I noticed you were very busy on the Bucks Zoom calls this week. Good work getting in there.
You know, got to cover someone this time of year. It's not like the Patriots are doing anything right now. So the Tom Brady stories all year long on the Globe website, the Brady stories have done just as well, if not better, than the Patriots stories. So the interest in town is sky high. And, I mean, here we are, like NFC Championship game, Brady's here, one game away from playing the Super Bowl in his home stadium. Like, it's unbelievable that we're here.
Now, the week started, Ben, with the Brady, with the Bruce Arians quote to Peter King, that Brady basically was not allowed to coach here, but BA is letting him coach down there. What did you make of that whole thing, and how do you think the Patriots reacted to that?
I feel like Belichick read that quote and was like, you're gosh darn right I didn't let him coach. So, like, that's the whole point around here, is that there is a separation of powers, players play and coaches coach. And I think anyone who's watched the Bucks situation, I mean, Arian's quote even was like, yeah, you know, sometimes I just sit back and watch and like, yeah, no duh. I mean, the offense is Tom Brady's. He's the general manager, you know, pulling in Gronk and Antonio Brown and basically whatever Tom wants. He and Gronk can do the videos, the Tommy and Gronky show on Tuesday. Like, Tom Brady is the chief executive officer of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So I don't think Belichick had a problem with that because he's like, you're darn right I'm not giving Brady the coaching powers. That's what I'm here for.
I don't think that, actually, as a matter of fact, Ben, I think the Buccaneers are probably better off when Bruce Arians says, you know what, I'm just going to sit back and let Brady do his thing. You got Todd Bowles, who's a great mind running the defense, and you've got a guy with just as much experience out there calling the shots under center. But do you really think this is the Brady offense? Is this the Earhart, you know, Perkins system, or is this Arians, or do we think it is a full hybrid of the two?
I mean, it's, I'm sure Arians' system has some influence, but they're running the plays that Tom Brady's comfortable with. Now, it's probably not an exact one-for-one because, like, he doesn't have the Julian Edelman, Wes Welker type in that offense. I know Scotty Miller sometimes, you know, we think he could, you know, he's a similar type of player, but they really don't have the short underneath passing game. It's all deep shots and, like, you know, slow-developing plays. So maybe in that sense, that is where Arians' influence comes in because they do like to push it down the field. But, I mean, they are running the plays that Tom wants to play, and, I mean, Tom is in full control. I've got a story coming in tomorrow's Globe about the effect he's had on the Bucs, and I think we've all noticed, like, as the season has gone on, Brady has clearly taken control of his team. And if you want a great example of that, from weeks 1 to 5, the Bucs were dead last in the league in penalties. And since Brady has gotten more comfortable and taken on even more of a role, since week 6, the Bucs are first in penalties. They went from dead last to fewest penalties in the league. They've also had the fewest turnovers in the league since week 6. So that is the Tom Brady effect. Fewer penalties, fewer turnovers, fewer mistakes, and that leads to wins. And, I mean, Brady, it's pretty unbelievable. They swapped out Jameis Winston, they put in Tom Brady, and it's, I mean, we could see what the effect is. 4 wins and a trip to the NFC Championship game. So, yes, I think Brady's had, I think he's got total control of this team, and the Bucs are happy to have it because look where it's leading them.
But Ben, 23 fewer interceptions will do that for a team, don't you think? I mean, that's a pick and a half a game less. You're in control of the ball. I think that's the number one thing that Arians wanted. Sure, the on-field coaching is great. Jameis has a more live arm than Tom at this point, but 1.5 interception average per game less? I mean, wouldn't that, according to some stat geek, equal 3 to 4 more wins?
Yeah, no. Well, I mean, that's the point, is that Tom Brady doesn't make the mistake. The Bucs led the league with 41 turnovers last year, and they were among the, I think they're 25th in the league this year, with only 17. So by more than half, they cut their receptions, and absolutely that's going to lead to wins. But that's not like, you know, they're fumbling less. It's because the quarterback is being careful with the football. And I think it's what Brady has done is he's taken a talent, you know, a group down in Tampa Bay that had a lot of talent, but just had no idea how to win. And he's more, you know, molded them into a team as the season has gone on. And they're playing their best football now. You know, all that said, I still like the Packers tomorrow. But, I mean, the effect that Brady's had on the Bucs and their continual improvement since that low point against the Saints, they've really gotten better throughout the season. So I think, you know, Brady's done an incredible job. And it's not all him, but, you know, just he's really molded that team into a bunch of winners.
Well, it's so incredible, Ben, that it's caused Linda Holiday to respond to Instagram trolls this week, including the statement, "Tom didn't score last night. Defense won the game. Were you even watching?" And now the Instagram has gone private. So did Belichick and the Patriots shut it down? Like, was this order? How do you think the week's gone from the Pats' point of view?
Well, I mean, I wrote it last Sunday, like, watching Brady, you know, beats the Saints and advances the NFC Championship game. And it's like, why is he not doing this for the Patriots again? Like, what? It's not like they had a plan. It's not like they had Jimmy Garoppolo waiting in the wings. And look, I understand they couldn't make it work, but it's like, why again? Like, it just seems so silly because Brady clearly still has it and he's still a good player and the Patriots don't have anything going on. So I think it's, you know, they're in quarterback limbo, and who knows if they're going to be able to fix the quarterback situation. So, I mean, absolutely. Bad week for the Patriots, and you know, I think that what that Linda Holiday comment shows is that it's a sensitive topic around the Belichick house, and I'm sure that's not, if she's going on Instagram and commenting about it, to me, I mean, how many times have they must have been talking about it around the house? And you know, I'm sure Belichick, he feels the Brady comparison as much as anyone. So I'm sure he wasn't thrilled to see Linda making those comments on social media. I kind of get what she was saying. I mean, a lot of the points last week for the Bucs were due to the turnovers and short fields, and Brady and the offense weren't able to finish a lot of their long drives with touchdowns. So I understand what she's saying, but to me, it shows just how sensitive the topic is. That could be a good sign for the Patriots, though, because I feel like the last time that Belichick kind of felt the heat was 2007. They went out and got Randy Moss and Wes Welker, and they torched the NFL. So maybe a ticked off Bill Belichick is what the Patriots need right now.
Well, last time I'm going to ask this question, Ben. What did the Patriots offer Brady? What was the final offer? Your former teammate Chris Gasper wrote in March that per Field Yates, the offer was 2 years, $25 million per. So when you're sitting there like everybody else, why isn't he still here? Is that true or is that bogus?
That's not what I heard at the time. I heard at the time that they made him an offer that was significantly lower than what he was receiving elsewhere. I mean, 2 years and 25 per is what he got from the Bucks. The key thing that the Bucks gave him was the 2 full years guaranteed. I think that was a big thing with the Patriots too. They were, I'm sure, at most willing to go year to year. And I heard it was, you know, significantly less, to the point where it's not even like a real offer. And I think the Patriots kind of made it clear really since the previous August, when they wouldn't add any more years to his new contract, that they were trying to make it clear to Brady, like, yeah, we're pretty much ready to move on here. It's always been couched as Brady left. It was Brady's decision, but like, I'm pretty sure that the Patriots made the decision for him. And again, it's like, why couldn't they have figured it out and reconciled, or, you know, once they moved on from Garoppolo, why didn't they commit more to Brady? Why didn't they draft someone else other than Jarrett Stidham in the fourth round? They had it all lined up perfectly with Garoppolo, and those plans got wrecked, and it's like they just stopped trying after that. And now they're stuck in purgatory, and Brady's thriving in Tampa Bay. It just seems so silly that they couldn't, you know, work it out and find a way to make Tom Brady happy here.
Ben, I'm not sure if from response to your columns or on Twitter you've gotten a feel for this, but I penned a little piece for EI.com today about just how torn I am, and especially how this just makes me yearn for watching Brady from the fan perspective. Have you gotten a sense from Patriots fans, aside from the ones that are always just yelling at us because they got nothing better to do during a pandemic, as to how they feel about this tomorrow? Like, are they pulling for Brady? Are they still mad, or are they just indifferent?
I mean, I think a vast majority are rooting for Brady tomorrow. The departure here, like, Brady gave the fans here 20 years and 6 Super Bowls. There's not a whole lot to be angry about. And from my perspective, if you're going to be angry at anyone, be angry at the Patriots for not, you know, making it work and making it happen, and making it to the point that Brady just wanted to leave. There's a chunk of the fan base that's going to be hate watching tomorrow. And you see it in comments on articles, or whatever, like, he's not wearing Patriots colors anymore, so he's the enemy and all this stuff. So sure, you might have 10-15% of people, I think, in town rooting against Brady, but I think overwhelmingly people want to see him win. They want to see him in the Super Bowl. It's a heck of a story if he makes it, especially with the game in Tampa. First year away from the Patriots, if he happens to take that team to the Super Bowl, that would just be a tremendous, tremendous story. So I think most people in town are definitely rooting for it.
Fitzy, I'll let you get the Deshaun Watson question in here in a second. That could be juicy, actually, as this comes across the wire. But what about Matt Patricia coming back? What's he going to do next year?
So the report by my colleague Jim McBride said he's kind of got like a nebulous title, Matt Patricia does, and he's going to help out in a variety of roles. And that to me is the final piece of the puzzle. I think he's going to be similar to like what Brett Bielema was when he came here, or Michael Lombardi, just like an assistant to Bill Belichick. Matt Patricia was still under contract for 2 more years with the Lions, so he's getting paid handsomely by another team. So the Patriots, they bring these guys in after they've been fired, and it's smart business. And, you know, if you name him to the linebackers coach or the defensive coordinator, because of the paying hierarchy, you have to pay him a real salary. But if you make him one of these nebulous positions, you can pay him $20,000 a year or something, and because Patricia's getting all his money from the Lions anyway. And so you get Matt Patricia for free, and the Lions are still paying for him. So I think he's just going to help out wherever Belichick needs him on the field, doing some film work, trends, and he'll be here a year, maybe 2 years, and then, you know, who knows, then his contract with the Lions will run out, and then he'll have to make a decision where he wants to be in his career. But I think it's just smart business by the Patriots with all the departures they've had, you know, to bring a trusted guy in like Matt Patricia, and you know, him and Belichick are super tight. So even if he's not a defined, you know, defensive coordinator or anything, he's going to be, I think, very much involved in what the Patriots do.
Yeah, I think only pluses can come from it as well, Ben. So this just came across a couple of minutes ago per our friend who's been on the show a few times. I'm sure you have are rather familiar with his work, our Radio.com insider, Miami Herald columnist Almando Sarguero, just putting out that Deshaun Watson has narrowed down his top two choices for a trade destination to be the Jets and the Dolphins. The Jets and the Dolphins. What do you think about that?
I mean, that makes sense because they have the number two and the number three pick. So if you're Houston, you can get it. You can draft a quarterback. If you end up trading Deshaun Watson, and I'm pretty sure Watson hasn't officially requested a trade yet. Nor has he ruled anything out. So I wonder if this is the agent making some noise. And I'm sure the Jets and the Dolphins. That's probably accurate. I don't know if either franchise is willing to sell off the farm, what it's going to take to get Deshaun Watson, nor am I sure that the Texans really want to do it. I mean, this is a young franchise quarterback, an unbelievable player. You just signed him to a contract extension just a few months ago. He's behind Patrick Mahomes. Watson's probably the second most valuable player in all of the NFL right now. So I don't know, at least 3 ones, maybe 4 ones is the starting price. And I don't. That's definitely not why Nick Caserio took the job to trade away Deshaun Watson. I'm sure he took the job because of Deshaun Watson. And it's only January, and I understand that the owners allegedly, reportedly said that he was going to involve Deshaun Watson in the processes, and then didn't. But I've yet to hear anything really egregious about what the Texans have done to Deshaun Watson. I'm a little confused about what's so terrible about that situation. I mean, it was just 2 years ago they made it to the second round of the playoffs. All the Jack Easterby stuff, he's getting blamed for everything left and right, which I don't know how fair that is either. And it's a weird situation going on there, but they have plenty of time to resolve it. So my prediction, I don't think he's going anywhere, but certainly Jets and Dolphins make the most sense.
All right, Ben, who's your picks tomorrow?
Going with Bills and Packers.
Bills and Packers. Wow.
Both these games were rematches from Week 6. The Bucks stomped on the Packers, and the Chiefs went into Buffalo and beat the Bills. And I don't know. I'm liking the losers in those games to get their revenge tomorrow. I think the Packers are too tough for Brady and the Bucs. I think, they benefited from playing a really, broken down Drew Brees last week. And Aaron Rodgers is having an unbelievable season. Green Bay's defense is certainly good enough. So I like the Packers at home. And I don't know. I've got a feeling about the Bills. Josh Allen's been unbelievable this year. He's made a believer out of me. And, it's been like a month, too, since the Chiefs really played well on offense. Week 16, they had a tough win against Atlanta where they didn't play that well. Week 17, they sat their guys. Then they had a bye. Last week against Cleveland, they were okay. So I just the Chiefs are just, to me, a little bit off right now. And I don't know. I think the Bills might be able to go in there and pull off the upset.
Wow. Ben coming in with the facts today. Ken, how about this? The Tampa Bay Gronkaneers leading the NFL in fewest turnovers from week 6 on after being the worst. And then tomorrow, Championship Sunday, is a week 6 rematch double Sunday. How about that? Wow.
You're giving Volo credit for that? God, everybody knew that. Anyway.
I didn't know that. Well, I'm a little behind the times here. I appreciate it, Ben. Hey, just let me pay the man a compliment.
You don't have to butter him up that much. Jeez,
all right, fine.
Pretty good appearance, though. Thank you, Ben.
Thank you, gentlemen. Enjoy that.
All right. See you. Yeah.
See you, Ben.
Enjoy the games tomorrow. Back to this Deshaun Watson thing. I don't think it's that crazy. Now, Ben says no way Caserio would want to do that.
But the only way you can rebuild that team is by getting rid of him at this point. They're in cap and player hell right now.
Well, right. And if you get several draft picks and Sam Darnold, and one of those draft picks, by the way, is the second pick in the draft, that starts to look a lot better. If you have Zach Wilson and Sam Darnold competing for a job, as opposed to a disgruntled Deshaun Watson, as good as he is, plus like several more picks to rebuild, like they have no picks left, right? Isn't that they're without first round picks each of the next couple years?
Because O'Brien traded everything away to get Laremy Tunsil, and then only got a second and the bones of David Johnson in return for the best receiver in the NFL.
I think that could happen, and unfortunately for Pats fans, that would be a nightmare with Deshaun Watson coming in with Robert Saleh, who knows, but it sounds like players like him.
And you've got, you trade away so many draft picks. You get Deshaun Watson. You got a ton of cap room. Watch, they'll go out and sign Allen Robinson and trade for Deshaun Watson. And overnight, the Jets will become good. And the Patriots will be staring up at the Bills, who I think is going to the Super Bowl, and a revamped Dolphins team and a possibly good Jets team. My God. And they told me 2021 would be better than 2020.
All right, let's get to a trending. We'll digest some of this, get back to the Brady Belichick discussion and much more. But here's what's trending now.
OMF, weekdays from 2 to 6. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
All right, trending now brought to you by KM Small Batch Bacon here on Laird and Fitzy. The big news of the hour, the Red Sox have signed their second free agent in 2 days. Kike Hernandez yesterday, and today it's Garrett Richards. 1 year, $10 million deal pending a physical per Jeff Passan of ESPN. Several other reporters have confirmed it. Richards has been very, very injury prone. He really hasn't had a full season since 2015. He's had Tommy John. He's had biceps injuries. He's had stem cell elbow injections going back to 2016. So he's been a mess. But when he was good, he was pretty good.
Seems like a good back-end value, low-risk, low-dollar signing, but it's not exactly like you can just peg him top of the rotation and trot him out there, you know, against the best of the, you know, Garrett Cole and company. So
It interesting, the two of the biggest quotes of the last couple months, well, this is going back a while now, but Belichick, you know how he said, we went all in, and now the Red Sox are saying they're not going all in. That was that quote to Shaughnessy from Sam Kennedy this week.
Like they don't want to be married to any long. They want a lot of positional flexibility for the next couple of years. Why is that?
That's like the thing. Like franchises have to declare whether they're all in or not. Or if you're the Bruins and Celtics, you're never all in. You're perpetually like
right
ascending. I don't know.
Very strange.
It's an interesting tie. By the way, baseball show coming up at 4. Bradfoe's already here preparing the Bradfoe show with Steve Perrault from the Section 10 podcast. Joe Kelly will join those guys at 4:30. Our coverage tomorrow of the NFL playoffs brought to you in part by the Massachusetts Paid Family and Medical Leave Program. Tampa Bay, Green Bay, 3:05 kickoff at Lambeau. We'll have Kevin Harlan on the call with Kurt Warner on Westwood One. And then after that, Bills and the Chiefs at Arrowhead. Nance and Romo on the TV. Ian Eagle on the radio call for us. 6:40 kickoff tomorrow. And the Bruins in action tonight. We'll talk a little Bees with Matt Kalman, 3:30. Second of the back-to-backs with the Flyers, 7 o'clock faceoff. Celtics lose last night. Peyton Pritchard out a couple weeks with that sprained knee. That's what's trending on the Greg Hill Morning Show.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Laird and Fitzy, we're right back to GDK.
GDK, girl, dead kid.
And Fitzy.
Ken, you ignorant slut.
On WEEI.
Peyton Pritchard out a couple weeks with that sprained knee. That's what's trending on the Greg Hill Morning Show. All right. Said the Greg Hill Show. Fine. Fitzy was a longtime member of the Greg Hill Morning Show. It feels that way to me. Like we're back in old times, right, Fitzman?
Oh, you nailed that one, Ken. This is the Greg Hill Morning Show. That was great. I love it. Considering some of the flubs I've made when I was handling on the holiday break, Ken, doing the, I was driving from 10 to 2 on the Dale and Keith program. And one day I said, and that's what's trending now. So that has been hung over my head every single show I've done since.
What was it? One of the politicians said erection instead of election yesterday. Who was that?
Schumer.
Oh, Schumer. Yeah.
Yeah, nailed it. Beautiful. Totally nailed it.
All right, now we've got the potpourri of callers here, including Jake in Boston and Danny and Quincy. So I will leave it up to you.
Danny and Quincy, please.
Okay. Danny, you got the call on Laird and Fitzy. How are you, sir?
Hanging in there, guys. Before I get to the Volin comments, right, I always hear about that pooch punt with Philadelphia, right? You do realize Brady threw a pick six in that game, over 100-yard return. And he also threw another one where it was a touchback, and they got a punt block. They got run back for a touchdown. So the pooch punt was kind of a – again, Belichick gets all the blame in that game.
Danny, I'm sorry to cut you off. Brady definitely deserves his fair share of the blame pie in that game. Also, that game is where they went down so quickly after being up 14-0. That's where Amendola threw the pass to Brady down the side. They went like 45 yards, the same play that they were not able to connect on in Super Bowl 52. But the reason why it gets pointed to for Belichick first, Danny, is because everything was going well, and it seems like such a curious decision to go for an overconfident kill shot like that when you're already holding them under thumb for the first quarter and a half.
All right. Philadelphia had three, I think they had three third and longs on that subsequent drive. They got the ball, I think. It was a difference between about 15 yards and field position. So that one you got to put in context. They had three different times, third and longs. And, you know, the defense didn't stop them. I mean, there was a lot of factors in the game, and it just all comes back to Belichick. This is what drives me into the Brady hate corner more. More and more. Now, Volin comes on and says the penalties got better with Tampa Bay. All right? Now, that's all Tom Brady. So you can't give any credit to the head coach, Arians? I mean, he got the blame. Earlier in the season, it was the narrative was from talk show hosts and callers were, Arians is putting Tom Brady in long ball purgatory. That's not his game. He's a short passer, slot receiver guy. He's got to get rid of the ball quick. He's getting Brady killed, blah, blah, blah. They continued that, and it got better. So who gets the credit? And Brady's getting all the credit. It's amazing to me. Nothing is being said about his offensive line, who is blocking like a brick wall. They have to hold their blocks longer because he's sitting in the pocket longer. No holding calls. I give the credit. I mean, I think the Patriots were pretty good on penalties this year, right? Who gets the credit for that? Is that Cam Newton?
Tom Brady gets the credit for that as well.
I'm sorry?
I said Tom Brady gets the credit for that as well.
He does. You know, there's a lot of blame to go around. It's a team sport. Okay, I have no problem with that. But I get this is what happens. Things go bad on the field, it's everyone else's fault. When things go good, it's all Brady. And this just drives me even further into the Tom. Don't forget, those comebacks in the Super Bowl that Brady had against Atlanta, and I think the one against Seattle, you know, he helped put him in the hole in the first place. And nobody mentions the intentional grounding that I have to keep up, bring it up against the Giants. That put him in the hole. First play after the Giants were stopped.
So are you rooting against them tomorrow?
That's crazy. Just go back and listen to the mic'd up version of, I forget the guy, the defensive lineman for the Giants. I'll never forget it. It killed me. And I think he was psyched out. And 2 weeks prior, Brady sucked against the Ravens. It was Sterling Moore, and Cundiff pulled him out of that one. Right? Because he threw a pick in that one. I mean, don't get brought up. And it
Danny,
drives
you're not
me.
I get it. No, please, by all means, I appreciate you just venting. That's what we're here for. But I have to say that, you know, as I've admitted the first hour and a half of the show, and we'll be all the way through the end of the game tomorrow, being kind of torn over the whole thing. The way that people this week have just basically victory lapped for Brady and been giving him such a tongue bath. Sure, he's responsible for three touchdowns last week and completed 65% of his passes, 199 yards. I get it. But Drew Brees was the MVP. Drew Brees and Devin White were the MVPs for the Buccaneers. Devin White's an awesome defensive player, and Drew Brees, see, now I'm saying twending, Ken, was awful last week. All Brady had to do was just be Brady. He was awful last week.
And leading up to that game, one other thing about the pooch punt. Leading up to that game, no one mentioned the fact Drew Brees was recovering from, depending upon who you asked, anywhere between 4 and 11 broken ribs. He was wearing a girdle around his body when he threw those passes. I knew that going into the game. That's why I couldn't understand why nobody brought that up. It had an effect on the game. Yeah, and somebody please ask Ron Rivera 2 weeks ago after they just scored a touchdown why they – you talk about pooch punts costing the game, which I disagree. He kicks this onside kick, squib kick. hybrid that gave Brady the ball on the 40-yard line after they jinxed it. Washington can't do things like that. Back in the Philadelphia game, it was like you could get away with stuff like that. This is what drives me crazy. I am rooting for him to lose tomorrow.
Whoa.
I hope he gets crushed.
Wow.
And I guarantee you, if his offensive line gives up one sack, guess who's going to get the blame? It's going to be Arians and whoever the offensive lineman who has saved his ass up until this. He hadn't gotten sacked. Six straight games going into the playoffs, they hadn't touched them. They've been a brick wall. And, of course, they always have Gronkowski to hold in, which was Belichick's idea 2 years ago. I hope he gets crushed. Thanks for the time. I appreciate it.
All right, Danny, there you go. That is almost a strong 6 minutes from Danny.
Wow.
But it was bringing the heat, rooting against Brady. None of these quarterbacks.
Sign him up for nights on EE.
I was looking this up, actually. None of these four quarterbacks take many sacks. They're among, like, the best, top 10, all four of them, in fewest sacks this year. You know what's also weird about these teams? The defenses of these teams are not great across the board. I mean, probably Tampa's got the best D, but they were eighth in the league in scoring defense. They were fourth in sacks.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like going back to this mock draft, which has Belichick taking a linebacker, and somebody said you got to rebuild with the defense. Is that even true anymore? I mean, these are the top three offenses plus the Chiefs, who probably could have been top if they had really tried Week 17. I mean, the four best offenses in the league with mediocre defenses that are playing tomorrow. So why would you pass on the quarterback to take a linebacker?
Because that's what Bill does. I mean, maybe look every time that. And by the way, real quick about the defenses tomorrow. I think the defense that might very well end up playing the best will be Tampa Bay because they get a huge boost with Vita Vea, their nose tackle, coming off.
Yeah.
And as it is, they've already got a pretty good rush defense. So if the Packers are going to win tomorrow, it's either going to be some surprise gifts in the cold from Scuba Tom and TB12, or it's going to be Rodgers just by sheer will in an MVP season chucking them to Super Bowl 55. But it in all the seasons where there's been a glaring failure or just something sticking out like a sore thumb for the Patriots, Ken, Belichick has immediately addressed it while never telling you or letting us in on his plans. At 2006, the receiver situation was pathetic, kept them from going to a Super Bowl. So what happens the next, you know, when Caldwell drops the ball and you got Doug Gabriel and, you know, the ghost of Troy Brown out there. So what happens the next year? Stallworth, Welker, Moss. 2013, the receiver situation's a disaster. The next year you get JoJo LaFell. They make a bunch of changes. So anytime, and also their cornerback situation was a mess as well. So then he trades for Revis and they address that as well.
They got a lot of messes now. There's not just one position.
That's the thing. So we're looking at three messes. The receiver situation is a mess.
Yep.
I think that'll be addressed. I think that could be addressed with the draft, free agency, and trade all across the board. I got some good stuff in all those columns there. The quarterback situation is the most curious because I think you can make one good linebacker free agent signing. You can make another one in the draft, and they'll shore up a lot that the defense is ailing with right now. Plus, Bo Allen, who was signed to play for in place of Danny Shelton, didn't even play a damn down this season.
He's still alive?
you wonder.
But by the way, they might have an O-line situation if they let their center and left guard go. So it's not. I mean, it could get worse.
That's why you can't go pay Allen Robinson $22 million a year to play wide receiver because it's like, okay, cool, we got a number one receiver who only dropped one pass this season. Awesome. Who the hell is throwing him the ball?
Let's go to Wayno in South Boston. Hello, Wayne.
Yo, what's up, guys?
Here he is. What's up, Wayno? How you doing, buddy?
You know me. I've been training a lot, getting in really good shape, man, because it's that time of the season. You know, it's wintertime, so, you know, like, I want to, when the summer comes, I want to be able to walk down that street and have the girls all whistle. What's going on? Hey, Fitz, real quick. I want to say the two games tomorrow. I think, I don't know what the hell. First of all, what the hell happened to Drew Brees?
Well, you're Dan Danny Boy's injury.
Game?
Yeah.
He couldn't get the ball 10 yards down the field.
He sucked.
What was going on, Fitz?
These up to 11 broken fractured ribs. The arm strength has
That's
been going
saying.
Down for
was
years.
Was it the ribs?
Yeah.
Wearing that jacket that he was wearing, I think because it made it look like he wasn't able to, you know, do much.
No, he couldn't. It was just a cacophony of reasons why they couldn't do anything. He had no Taysom Hill. Michael Thomas needs like a bunch of different separate surgeries. He just willed himself to come back for what he thought could be Breeze's final game. Breeze was toast. He had, you know, he suffered from an acute case of Pennington arm plus all the broken ribs. Like, he was just toast.
Now, all right, I'm going to do my two picks for tomorrow. I say Green Bay beats the Packers 34 to 27.
Okay, so that's a cover.
Take
and
the over.
I was going to say cover, yep, and the over from Waino in the first one in the NFC Championship. Yep. All right, take and it to the nighttime. Bills at the Chiefs.
And you know, yep, I'm going with the Chiefs, definitely. You know that. I hate the Bills. I would never root for the Bills. The only way I would root for them is if they lose. I would love to see them lose another Super Bowl. That would be great. Number five. That, would that make my day? That would make my day, Fitz. You know, especially after the year the Patriots had, that would make my day, boy.
Wayne, just think about all the sex objects that would be thrown on the field next year. Just think about the parties in Buffalo.
Sex object reference.
You're right there, Fitz. You're right there, brother. You're right there.
Thank you, Wayne.
No, I'm serious. I think what's his name? Mahomes is going to come out with a good game tomorrow, even though I don't know what the hell. What happened to him last week? It didn't look like his head hit the ground, Fitz. I looked at that play many times. His head did not hit the ground, but that guy did have his arm around his neck, and he pulled it. It looked like he pulled his neck when he was turning him over. You know what I'm talking about?
That's what Jay Glazer said. He got choked out. It was just kind of a strange thing. Probably an excuse for having a concussion. Thanks, Wayne.
Yeah, it was. It was like whiplash or incidentally basically just getting choked out.
Well, I mean, that does worry me. I would say I can't picture the Bills winning, but maybe Mahomes is not right, just like Breeze wasn't right last week. Who knows?
I keep telling Rich and the guys on the midday show, trust your eyes. Don't go with the numbers. Don't go with, the pedigree and the record and everything else that a lot of folks are just beholden to. What do your eyes tell you?
My eyes tell me Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill are uncoverable. So don't bet against the Chiefs.
But Buffalo, Clyde Edwards-Helaire was at the full strength of his rookie season when they, back in week six, ran the ball down the Bills' throat in Buffalo on that bizarre Tuesday night football game. He's not right. Chiefs have not played that well. They weren't that good. They were not that impressive last week. Now, listen, if Butker makes those two field goals, now all of a sudden it's like 25-3, and they may end up just curb stomping the Browns. But the Browns were also, they're one illegal Sorensen head-to-head hit at the goal line away from, if Higgins doesn't fumble, then that game could go either way. I like the way Rodgers has been playing and the mission that he's on, and I like the way the Bills are playing, and I don't like the way the Chiefs are playing. Plus, I kind of hate the Chiefs, and I hope their overconfident asses get kicked to the curb tomorrow. That's why my picks are Packers and Bills. And I do think Brady plays well, but it's just not enough.
Well, Stephon Diggs is the other story, where the Patriots had a chance to trade for him. And granted, it's a first-round pick. 127 catches later, the Bills are in the AFC Championship game.
1,523 yards and double-digit touchdowns.
Right.
And he put on a showcase for the ages when he ran the Pats into the ground and around J.C. Jackson for three touchdowns in that Week 16 Monday Night Football showcase. That's the argument, Ken, right there. That tape alone and the season that Diggs has had with Josh Allen, that is the argument for why you can and should overpay for a number one alpha dog wide receiver, because look at what it can do for your quarterback. And that's exactly why I'm convinced Allen Robinson is going to get paid to go to Baltimore this offseason.
Yeah, probably, and not here. Back to Brady, though, his success and how it's making Bill look the week in Belichick. It's Laird and Fitzy. More of your calls on the way.
More of what you want to hear. Laird and Fitzy on EEI.
Until 4 o'clock, it is Laird and Fitzy here on your Saturday. 23rd of January, Championship Sunday tomorrow, Fitzy. No Patriots, not even in the picture. Although, the ratings for Brady are huge, as you'd expect from last week, and tomorrow's going to be... What do you think? 30, 35 for the game tomorrow here in Boston?
Huge.
The ratings here just going to be gigantic.
Massive. And he's the early game, too, which I think helps him. But I was poking around when I went through the AFC Championships past for Brady. In the 13 appearances, he's had 9-4 overall. Like I said, one loss at home, three on the road, all three road losses to Manning. But it doesn't really matter if he plays a day or night. Like, record's the same. So the only factor that really could contribute to a down Brady performance is if it's cold. And it's going to be cold tomorrow.
Chance of snow, right? 50%?
Yeah, like that's right. Oh, wouldn't that be great?
That what if he sucks in the cold?
No, I don't want him to suck in the cold. Just like I love, you know, snow playing football. Big game, the snow. Come on, you know, the frozen tundra of Lambeau Field.
But I'm telling you, if he stinks it up and they lose, there will be a section. He's had a better year than Belichick. That's obvious. But people will say didn't do enough with that talent. Didn't do enough. Had the best defense left. It's never a success if Brady loses in a championship game.
No, but see, I feel like Brady, the Tampa Bay experiment was a success once they, and it doesn't matter who was responsible for it, whether it was Drew Brees throwing the picks, whether it was Brady being just efficient enough. Leonard Fournette was the best player on offense for the Buccaneers last weekend. I think that's pretty inarguable. Mm-hmm. But for whatever reason, I think this is a success for year one. And it looks like he's not going to play just next year. Pardon the double negative, but rather beyond that as well. So this could be a 3-4 year project.
Yeah, but you said yourself this is his best chance, right? They got 30 free agents. This might be his last best chance to win another one. And Belichick will have 6-7 more years, right?
Mm-hmm. Ooh, Ken, look at this weather forecast for tomorrow. In Green Bay. Oh yeah, gall pack, gall. We got tomorrow, we have a high of 30, a low of 13. 71% chance of precipitation. Cloudy with snow showers, mainly during the morning. Oh, my God. I mean, this is just, there are people out there, and there's going to be Packers fans, whatever limited number they allow in tomorrow. I think it's like 7,000 to 10,000 that are going to be out there just like shirtless and, you know, just like only overalls out there. Just
how many
eating.
Fans are they getting in?
I think they get somewhere between like 7,000 and 10,000. And the Chiefs allow 16,000.
Go to your buddy, Jake in Boston. 2 minutes on the clock. Hello, Jake.
Hey boys. Let me talk to Danny and Quincy for a minute. Right. You idiot. You want to rehash Bill's dumb 4th-and-13 call in Super Bowl 42. Remember that one, Danny? Or obviously benching Malcolm Butler because he dared to cross stupid Stevie. Danny, you tell me things that have happened. I tell you things that are going to happen, which I have since March, which is why you have Bill at home, bitter, losing record, and Tom in a conference championship game looking to go to his 10th Super Bowl, which I think, to be honest, maybe the greatest accomplishment by a single athlete in the last 50 years to go to 10 Super Bowls would be amazing. Though someone needs to tell Gronk how Titanic ended, because if you see his Instagram post today, he's got that buck ship headed right towards an iceberg. Fitzy, I know you've gone through the stages of grief gradually here, and I appreciate you coming almost to a point of acceptance on this. I think you get what we had and you get what we lost, and I appreciate you. So thank you. Second, Carol Baskin Holiday. Carol Baskin Holiday. This woman is so narcissistic. She couldn't be more excited to parade the death of her parent with the death of Bill's parent. Listen, she cracked. And she could be facing, or she should be facing, a defamation lawsuit for calling a 20-year season ticket holder a troll. A 20-year season ticket holder, she got triggered because she wasn't, you know, dealing with mansplaining. She was dealing with one of her own, a middle-aged white woman. Listen, this woman is so self-absorbed where she thinks both you all and dumb little hubby over there fell for this whole private thing. She was yapping it up yesterday. She's got 60,000 followers. She's not going anywhere. And I'll send you press clippings of Linda Holiday's Instagram, like Stacey James's intern sends out press clippings of things that you guys write.
How do you still have access?
I've got like 18 murders on this woman. She's not going away, and neither am I. And listen, final point here on Linda. You know, the book's named 8 Rings. But Linda doesn't have a ring on her finger. So, like, instead of pulling this act of I'm going private on Bill, Bill should have pulled the act and thrown her out of the house. Because, you know, to be honest, best years came while he was going through his first divorce. That was 01 through 04 when I think it was final. That's when I got brilliant Bill, like utterly brilliant Bill. And here is this woman, Carol Baskin Holiday, who thought she could take this utterly brilliant but socially awkward football coach and manipulate him for her own personal socialite gain.
All right. Well, I mean, look,
I mean, some valid points on the up top, but then again, it just starts going.
Yeah, it starts to get personal.
Off the rails.
I mean, look, she should have brought up Tom. She should not have said Tom.
No.
By the way, I totally she's not right that he didn't score, but the defense did win the game. I mean, they put him in short fields. Brady had a good game, but he wasn't the story. The bigger story was the Bucs D. And Breeze sucking, whatever combination you want to weigh those two.
Couldn't agree more with that. It's funny, though, that he says, like, he should have thrown her out of that. Remember how there's zero chance that Belichick was happy once he found out that she was commenting, given how much he loves InstaFace and Snapdoodle or whatever else, that there's any chance that she would say that. And it goes back to, remember how Pats fans for the longest time were clapping at Giselle because they thought she was Yoko Bunchen? Like, oh, everything was great.
Well, she did the same thing after the Super Bowl loss. It was the same thing.
My husband cannot throw the ball, Johnny effing Foxborough, blah, 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 catch it himself.
Exactly.
Yeah, and like, I doubt he's going to be moving on from this new love of his life anytime soon. Can I give you something else? Can I give you another little nauseating tidbit I picked up in the past weekend?
Okay.
Talking to a friend who's got a little, nice little following, big Pats fan who lives in the Tampa Bay area. He said that whenever friends come to town, he takes them on tours of Brady's house over in Clearwater, whatever. Although he's already moved out of the Jeter house, now he's in Clearwater. Said that the area in the last 3 months has undergone a massive transformation. No one used to wear Buccaneers jerseys of any kind around because he's lived in the area a couple of years. He said now all you see, and his girlfriend, by the way, is a school teacher. Classroom is all 12s and 87s. All around town, bars, wherever you go.
87s?
Isn't that crazy? He said that you don't see Mike Evans jerseys around town. You don't see Chris Godwin jerseys around town. Not Lavonte Davids, not Derek Brooks. None of them. All they are, 12s and 87s everywhere. It's all Brady and all Gronk.
Displaced New Englanders, got to be. I mean, that's hard to believe. People were buying up the Gronk jerseys?
Yeah, all Buccaneers, Brady and Gronk jerseys in Clearwater and Tampa.
Couple more in before the break. Rob in Bridgewater up next. Hi, Rob.
Hey, guys. How are you today?
Pretty good. You?
What's up, Rob?
Good, thanks. Hey, first off, Fitzy, you have to come back in the morning. And Ken, you need hazard duty pay to listen to Brady Belichick all week long.
Well, I've just done two more hours of it, so I'm complicit. But yeah, go ahead.
All right. But my take is I just wish some people would explore that perhaps Brady did Kraft dirty by not staying till the end, right? Mm. So Kraft helped him out, got rid of Garoppolo, and he didn't hold up his end of the bargain. But that never gets chatted about.
Hmm. Well, I agree with that. He obviously, and if it's true that Kraft was surprised when he came in and said, I'm leaving, I mean, that's,
You feel like Brady left him high and dry, Rob?
Totally.
I sure do, yeah. I think if we're to believe that Kraft stepped in and told Bill to get rid of Jimmy, and Jimmy's gone, then Brady owed him a solid to stay till the end.
Yeah, and he had done, it's one thing, like, why would he have taken less all these years and then the money had been the major factor? It's just strange. It's a weird respect tie-in. I mean, people always say that. It's about not about the money, it's about the commitment and the respect and a two-year deal, I guess. But for all these years, you had taken less so they could spend more around you, and then now he decided that's not the way he's going to handle it. I think he did turn his back on Kraft in a lot of ways. Leo in Franklin. Hello, Leo.
How you guys doing today?
Hello, man.
What's up, Leo?
I just wanted to say I think that people using Drew Brees as being injured for that game is a reason that the Tampa won. Maybe you're making compliments to Brady by shining a light on the fact that he still makes all his starts healthy. At age 43, he never misses starts.
Yeah, that's true.
It is pretty remarkable. It's really remarkable, Leo, when you think about the fact that Brady has been able to stay healthy, not just this season, but into his almost mid-40s.
And he continuously plays three extra playoff games a year, and he plays mop-up time during games where they didn't choose to take him off the field during blowouts.
Yeah, that's obviously one of the keys to his success, that he doesn't hold the ball long. Although, it was a Volan that said he's holding the ball longer than he used to. I agree with that.
Yeah, that's part of the offense for sure. Yeah.
Unless he's, that's part of the Arians' MO. But then again, Brady's coaching, so who knows whose offense it is. One more before the break. John and Gardner. Hi, John.
Good morning, boys. Good afternoon, the pair that can beat a full house. How y'all doing?
All right.
What's up, John?
Hey, may I take this opportunity before I forget to say a shout out, and I hope they're hale and hearty, to the great Craig Mustard and Larry Johnson.
Yes, sir.
I have no idea if they're listening, but if you are, boys, hope you're doing well.
Absolutely.
A couple of weeks ago, Ken, I had a 50-50 bet with myself at home if I was going to hear a song from Living Color from you or not, and the end joint, but I guess we didn't.
I'll make a note of it.
I'm going to burst everybody's bubble. Green Bay is going to kill the Bucks. Write it down. Load it up. Load it up.
So what happened in week six then, John? Why the difference this time around?
I can't even I'm not going to give you a bunch of, you know, ABCs on it. I just think, you know, Aaron don't like losing a game like that. He's more motivated than even Brady, I think. And Tom is quite motivated. But the way Aaron is playing this year, he is lights out, and I think they're just going to turn it around and do a number on them.
Because John, if you think about it, sorry to butt in, but if you just really just take a quick, if you step back and look at exactly how badly the Saints played, and also it's not exactly like save for, you know, Brady made a couple signature throws last week, right. But it's not exactly like Tampa enforced their will and just moved up and down the field. Like, his scoring drives were all 40 yards or less.
Right. I don't mean any disrespect to that fellow that's the workout guy, but let me hit you in the ribs with a baseball bat and break half your ribs and see how well you can lift or do anything, including throwing a football. And Drew Brees' arm strength isn't his, you know, bailiwick anyway. So it's going to be a rematch of Super Bowl I, boys. You're going to have the Kansas City Chiefs against the Green Bay Packers.
All right, John, you heard it from John here. It scares the hell out of me, though, Fitzy. It's like, look at that game in week six. You're right. They're up 10-0. Rodgers throws two picks. They did nothing the rest of the game. Like,
nope.
I mean, so what happened? Why?
I don't know. No one can ever really explain that. I think the final score was 38-10.
38-10. It was over by the third. I mean,
yeah.
They couldn't move the ball. And Rodgers has choked so many times in this game. Last year, they were down 27-0 at the half to San Francisco. Bosa was all over him. If Rodgers loses this game, his career is just a mess.
He becomes the NFC Championship Buffalo Bills.
He totally does. I mean, there's so much pressure on him. That's another thing. They have to win tomorrow. It's in a way, it's found money for Brady.
And you know, a fascinating matchup, Ken, tomorrow. That young but aggressive secondary for the Gronkaneers versus arguably the guy who's playing every bit as good as Diggs or as good as Hopkins. Davante Adams, 14 games this year, 18 touchdown catches. The man was a monster, just beast mode every time he's on the field. I think Adams gets the best of that, but with their nose tackle Vita Vea coming back and Devin White, who is just a revelation at linebacker, playing his best football since they sunk the fourth pick overall in him a couple years ago. Does the Tampa Bay defense carry Brady to his 10th Super Bowl appearance, or does Rodgers finally get the dub at home with his buddy Adams and the bunch of no-name receivers when they finally host the NFC Championship there?
I guess that's the defense for Belichick taking a linebacker 15, Devin White. That would be Exhibit A.
Yeah, 1,000%. Exhibit A is getting run all over to the tune of 200-plus yards by Buffalo and Miami and teams that hardly had epic rushing attacks this year.
All right, final hour. We'll get a little Bruins talk in. Matt Cowan, my former buddy, will do a mini skate pod at 3:30. Bradfoe up with, he is loaded with baseball stuff. With the big news of another signing today, Garrett Richards, also Kike Hernandez. He and Steve Peralt up at 4 o'clock on WEI.